And welcome along to it then. It is the Sweet Spot brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK, and it is Majors Week, baby. Right, as ever, I'm joined by Steve Palmer of The Racing Post. Excitement builds, Steve, a massive week ahead.
Good morning, Dave. Yes, it's literally all happening, isn't it? We've got Royal Ascot for the horsey fans. We've got the World Cup of Football for the football fans. And we've got a major championship. I don't think there's enough hours in the day, but we're going to do our best. And we're going to do better than last week. The Canadian Open did not go well. Had a lot of distractions at the start of the week. I didn't feel on my game. I feel better for the US Open. And we're going to get results this week. And thank God England won the World Cup of darts, Dave. Was the only return.
We've already won World Cup. One World Cup. There's another to come.
That's it. We've won the most important World Cup, the World Cup of darts. And that was a much needed return for me. They drifted like a barge pre-tournament, Dave. They went to eight. I got some 8-11. There was no confidence in that English side, which I found crazy. I had great confidence in that English side. So Luke Littler and Luke Humphreys have sent me into the US Open with some stake money.
That's good. Well, it's a good start. And as Steve has mentioned, it is a massive, massive, massive week of sports. We've got Royal Ascot on. The World Cup is in full swing. And we've got you covered here on the Racing Post YouTube channel every morning this week. I think it's 8:30. Well, certainly was this morning. Good morning, Ascot. We'll serve you everything you need to know. Johnny Deneen, Dave Jennings, all the gang at Ascot, marking your card every day. So if you like the horses, if you don't like the horses, get your card marked every morning. Good morning, Ascot. And of course, we've got you covered with all sorts of sports as well, including the World Cup, coverage in the Racing Post, coverage on the website. Do make sure you like, comment and subscribe here, though. We want to hear from you. Listen, we'll talk all sports. I'm sure people followed in with the darts. Who's going to win the World Cup? Who's going to win the US Open? Just jump in the comments and let us know. Right, it is a busy week, Steve, but have you been burning the midnight oil? And I'm not talking about watching the football, preparing for the US Open.
We all like horses, don't we, Dave? I must put that on record first. I mean, if you don't like horses generally, then there's something very odd about you.
Horse racing.
No, you must make that point, because every time I walk past a horse, I feel incredibly at peace. You know, they are the most peaceful animal going. And I could spend an hour on this podcast talking about how much I rate horses. But racing, a very complicated business. You need your Johnny Deneens, you need your Tom Seagulls, you need your Paul Keelys, because it's just such a complicated sport to get your head around, isn't it? But now my focus, Dave, is on the golf, obviously, and really excited about this US Open. I think it's a fantastic golf course. And I'm trying not to let the World Cup distract me. I mean, the World Cup football has not been going well for me. So I think I'm going to park the World Cup for a little
bit. Well, what's been going to tell you, there was millions matched on Spain at 1.1 on Betfair. Tell me that wasn't the Palmer millions.
Well, I mean, I think that destroyed many an accumulator, didn't it? Including one of my accumulators. I mean, yeah, Spain being held by Cape Verde was a terrible moment for the punting community. And also Qatar's goal against Switzerland. Qatar scored a very late equaliser against Switzerland the other night. And my World Cup was going really well until that point. Qatar and Cape Verde have got a lot to answer for, Dave.
I'm struggling with these drinks breaks and all sorts. It's been Americanized. Rather than a game of two halves, it's almost four quarters now.
Yeah, and we will see the longest World Cup game in history, won't we? Because there's bound to be one of these thunderstorms with lightning. If you can get a bet on this being the longest World Cup game ever, then get it on at any price, because it's going to happen. Yeah, hopefully the England game tomorrow night. It starts at 9 p.m., doesn't it, Dave? If you get a thunderstorm in that, we might not be getting home till the early hours of the morning.
Especially if the kids want to stay up and watch it, that's going to be absolute carnage. Right, we'll get on to more football chat. Steve's even rocking the three lines, so we'll come back to that. Before we do, we're going to look ahead. We're going to look back before we look ahead at the Canadian Open. Before we do that, a reminder of our friends at SBK. Make sure you jump on the website, betsbk.com, and open an account with them, because there are free bet concessions for you to take advantage of. You can get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet. A referred customer must bet £20 to get £20 in free bets, in addition to the welcome offer of £40. So a total of £60 up for grabs there. Full terms and conditions are on the website. 18 plus, gamble aware, of course, but do try and take advantage of that. If you've not already got an account with SBK, jump on, because of course there's going to be a winnings boost as well this week. So you can follow in Steve and get a Brucey bonus on top should not should, when he finds the winner. Right, let's look back.
Didn't he do well?
let's look back before we look ahead then. Bud Cooley, 17 under par, a two-shot winner over Matt Fitzpatrick. Victor Hovland was a shot behind. An incredible story, really. 8 years ago, that horrendous car crash. I listed his injuries, broken leg, 6 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and it was his 239th appearance on the PGA Tour, and the 36-year-old has won for the first time.
Yeah, it was an emotional victory, Dave. I mean, I remember back in the day that he came onto the scene. He was the number one junior in America. I was backing him in 2011. I remember his father used to appear on the PGA Tour coverage a lot because his father used to follow him at every event and he used to get very animated on the sidelines. And so Bud Cooley's dad became a bit of a celebrity back in the day. It was Cooley and Cantlay, the two C's, Patrick Cantlay and Bud Cooley, came onto the PGA Tour at the same time, both with these huge reputations, and both have suffered with injury problems in the since then. But yeah, Bud Cooley's car crash. I mean, he did well to survive that, Dave. I mean, significant injuries that took ages to heal, and he had one comeback, and then he had to abort the comeback, and it took years to get his body in shape to play golf again. And this is an overdue maiden victory because of that. As you say, 36 years of age. Yeah, I was delighted for him. And there would have been punters at him last week. He's been playing some decent golf. He's only 40-1 last week because he's been playing in high class events. His 5 previous tournaments, Dave, were 4 signature events and a major. So it was a downgrade last week. I mean, yeah, it's like one of your beloved greyhounds, Dave, going from an A1 to an A4. And I know you always get very excited when you see a big downgrade. And from the second bend onwards last week, he was charging. He was slow out the traps, but the final 3 bends, he played really well. And yeah, I was delighted for him. I was a bit worried on that final hole when that wedge pitched where it did, because it was very wet. Did you see the final wedge into the green? It was zipping with backspin, and you thought, oh my God, he should have hit that further past the flag. But thankfully, it didn't go in the water short of the green. And long live Bud Cooley. Well done, mate.
Yeah, I mean, there was followed it on the Sunday quite closely, particularly just the betting and running. I had a few interests myself. And it was quite lively for the first, let's call it the 12 holes. You know, the favourites were chopping and changing. We had Jackson Suber up there. He's been in great form. I think he's finished fourth twice down his last 3 starts. He was favourite, short price favourite for quite a while. But Bud Cooley has come through. Any other notables who caught your eye? Anyone that caught your eye who you thought, that's a nice prep for this week?
Well, Matt Fitzpatrick, obviously, we talked about how bad his driving was at Memorial and how bad his putting was at Memorial. And the target was to tighten those two things up in Canada. And it's exactly what he did. He finished runner-up. It was a tidy performance. Yeah, this is a former US Open champion coming to Shinnecott with his A game, it appears. I think Sudarshan Yelamaraju deserves a mention. He was the one that was really doing my head in there because he was the last name off the shortlist. I went for AJ Hewitt instead at double the price, his compatriot. And I was really kicking myself for not having both of them because we didn't really have any big prices, any short prices last week. It would have been fine having 6 players. So, yeah, Yelamaraju was killing me. Finished tied 8th in the end. But, yeah, he's having an amazing rookie campaign. Yeah, that was his home course last week. He looks good enough to win in his rookie year, so we'll keep an eye on him in lesser events to come. He's playing this week, but I don't think the US Open's for him. And then Robert McIntyre, I mean, he finished 15th, Dave, tied 15th. Yeah, I was on the top 12 as usual, so c'est la vie, but hit his ball really well. Yeah, really encouraging ball striking performance. He's had this new putter in the bag lately, and it didn't putt well. But US Open runner-up last year, you probably remember. McIntyre, yeah, it could be a factor again in the US Open.
It was a week that promised quite a lot for me, myself, and I ended up empty-handed. Emiliano Grillo, I backed at a massive price, and he was up there. And then Brooks Koepka, one of the bookmakers, keeps reeling me in with a boost of Brooks Koepka finishing in the top 10. Nice big prices. And it looked 101 at one point last week, and then some kind of weird injury has struck.
Yeah, mysterious injury. Finger injury. Something I can relate to. He said he couldn't grip the club because he had this strange feeling in his hands. Yeah, I don't think it'd be arthritis. This is a fighting fit younger man. But yeah, massively bad timing. You know, he's the only course winner in the Shinnecock Hills.
He's a big runner this week. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you. How can you go near him when you don't even know whether he's going to play? I mean, I mean, my only interest in Koepka really is, I noticed he was 13-8 to miss the cut this week. And I think, I think he's almost certain to play and battle through any injury. And I think 13-8 to miss the cut is good value given how significant the injury was. Because as you say, withdrew on the Sunday morning, tested it out on the Sunday morning on the driving range, didn't feel he could go to post in the final round of the Canadian Open, despite, he's going to bank a decent check. Money's not important to him, but FedEx Cup points were. He's trying to build his PGA Tour career back. So the fact he pulled out before the final round, I think, is significant. And I can't have him on my mind for this week on the outright bet. And before all this happened, he would have been,
Yeah, absolutely. And what was he, 13-8 to miss the cut?
Yeah, I've seen 13-8 to miss the cut. It's quite unusual for bookmakers to price up players like that who have got injury concerns. Maybe amid the Royal Ascot and World Cup hullabaloo.
It slipped through the net.
Yeah. That'd be the only angle for Koepka that would interest me, because I think he will tee off. He's a big, proud man. He's not going to let a funny finger feeling stop him from teeing up in the US Open when he's the only course winner in the field and would have fancied his chances. So, it's not on the outright bet for me. Yep. And, Sam Burns was the other one I wanted to talk about before we move on, because, we mentioned how he was contesting favouritism last week. He's a tempting option. He was runner-up the previous year in that tournament. He got progressively worse last week, 64, 67, 69, 71. So I'm really pleased we resisted those short prices. And he's become such a frustrating player to follow. He finished 20th, didn't even place. So when he opens with a 64, he becomes favourite and finished 20th. So, I mean,
He was well backed. I mean, I backed him the week before, but I backed him at 50s. Do you want to back him at 50s or, pile in at 12s the week after when he's not converted a good opportunity? So
I don't want to encourage people to go in your bin, Dave. I know your bin's full of people.
It is jam-packed full of people.
I mean, I've got many
McCurry,
I think Patrick Cantlay's in my bin. I've given up on Patrick Cantlay. I think Sam Burns is becoming a similar sort of character to Patrick Cantlay. Long victory drought and really becoming really untrustworthy in contention. So let's not talk about bins. Let's talk about US Opens.
Let's indeed. And we're going to start with a mention for our friends at betsbk.com, because they are doing a not 20%, but a 30% winnings boost. If you manage to find the winner of the US Open, they'll give you a little bit of cream on top. So a 30% winnings boost. Should you find the winner, and the man who joins us is going to steer you on to that winner, I've no doubt whatsoever. It is the US Open, the third major of the year. It used to be the second. We're not going to get into that. But it is major season. Where are we, Steve? Set the scene for us. What sort of golf course we're looking at here? I looked at an overhead and I was struggling to find any sort of tree whatsoever. So this looks very, very exposed.
Yes, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, Southampton, New York. 7,440 yards, par 70, two par 5s, 12 par 4s, 4 par 3s. A club formed in 1891. This is an historic venue. It hosted the second ever US Open, Dave, in 1896. Then again in 1986, 1995, 2004, 2018, one over par was enough for Brooks Koepka to win in 2018, which says a lot about the course. Fast running fairways, small, well-guarded, lightning fast greens. I think the winning score will be a few under par this time, Dave, because they're setting it up a little bit easier. The fairways have been widened a bit. We've got an average width of 48 yards, Dave. So, these are generous fairways, but
that wouldn't be generous enough for me, but I get it.
it's not about just bombs away though. You've got to find the right angle of attack because the approach shots are so difficult. So finding the right section to the fairways is important. Accurate approach play, the key to success. A sharp short game is worth its weight in gold because everyone's going to be missing greens. There's collection areas around the greens, some really deep greenside bunkers. You need a sharp short game. We've got moderate breezes, Dave. Don't worry, you're still going to get a hard US Open. Anything under par has a chance of winning. I think it'd be 3 or 4 under par wins it, because the breezes are severe, particularly on the first day. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by 11:45 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
Okay, people like to crunch the stats, Steve. Which stats would you be reaching for here when you're trying to make your list of players?
I thought the most interesting one was that 8 of the last 10 US Open winners have been first-time major champions. Yeah, I think that's quite an eye-catching statistic. My headline selection is never won a major. I've actually got three players in my stake and player who have not won a major before, so I like that statistic.
Good. Right, I've backed two myself. And listen, I'll always live in hope that they're on your list, because then I don't have to go in again. List of recent US Open winners: JJ Spawn, DeChambeau, Wyndham Clark, Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau. 8 of the last 10 winners were American. Each of the last 16 US Open winners were ranked inside the top 32 in the official golf rankings. One of the stats that people might reach for is bogey avoidance. And I've got the top 10 ahead of me. Do you want to try and name as many of them as you can?
No, I want to get this done in the hour. That's what the order is.
Give me three. Just three players that are going to be there.
Scottie Scheffler will be in there.
He's number one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd say Tommy Fleetwood would be in there.
No.
No. Yeah, just rattle through them, Dave, because we have got a crack on, as Sam says.
All right. Listen, people...
But you don't keep the pace up, Dave. You don't keep the pace up. When you're told to keep the pace up, you don't keep the pace up.
Well, I'm being put on the clock by the sounds of it. Bogey avoidance, then. Top 10 players. If the winning score is going to be 3 under par, you want players that are not dropping shots. So the top 10 players are Scheffler, McIlroy, Henley, Young, Fowler, Davis Thompson, Siwoo Kim, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Xander Schauffele. So there you go. Some people might be interested in that. Steve, obviously not. Let's get into it then.
There's too much happening there. I'm keyed up.
How many? It's a bit, was that a can of Coke?
Yeah, all sorts of helpful items.
Wow. It's 20 past 10 time of recording. You're on the Coke already. Okay, right. How many players are you tipping this week, Steve?
5 tips. 5 of the 156.
Okay, right. Market show then. Scottie Scheffler is top of the shop. Round about 13 to 2, 6 to 1. McIlroy double figures. Then John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Cameron Young, Ludwig Auber, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka is still in there. Round about 33 to 1. Who, Steve Palmer, is the main selection this week then?
Tommy Fleetwood. Come on, Tommy. Come on, Tommy. Which I shout to my very disobedient son quite regularly. I think Tommy Fleetwood's time has come. We've always known he was good enough to become a major champion. Brilliant amateur career. Turned pro in 2010. Won on the Challenge Tour in 2011. 8-time winner on the DP World Tour. We were all waiting for that PGA Tour breakthrough. It came last year in a massive event. Tour Championship. Courageously won the FedEx Cup. I think he's ready for major glory. 8 of the last 10 US Open winners, first-time major winners, as we discussed. Fleetwood has spent the best part of a decade contending for majors. 4th in the 2017 US Open. Runner-up in the 2018 US Open at Shinnecock Hills. Closed with a course record 63. Lost the tournament by a shot. Runner-up in the 2019 Open. 5th in the 2022 USPGA. 4th in the 2022 Open. 5th in the 2023 US Open. So an amazing record in this tournament. 3rd in the 2024 Masters. World-class ball striker, one of the best links golfers in the world. This is not a links golf course. It's an inland links, I would describe it as. You know, it's an inland links. It's like a dunes track, but it's right up Fleetwood's alley. The last time he teed up in New York, Dave, you'll remember, the Ryder Cup, he was the top point scorer for Europe, 4 points. But he's popular with the American galleries. This is the funny thing about Fleetwood. You might be worrying about certain players going into this bear pit again. Yeah, the New York galleries, notoriously boisterous. Obviously, Rory McIlroy had his issues with the galleries in the Ryder Cup. It was only 9 months ago. But Tommy Fleetwood, just universally popular. Impossible to dislike, isn't he, Dave? Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yes.
Yes, he hasn't got anything to fear, though. He'll have supporters this week in New York, which a lot of the European Ryder Cuppers will not have. And Fleetwood's had his challenges off the course this year. It's been a difficult year for him. Lives in Dubai, of course. You know, far from ideal place to live when the war in Iran started. Yeah, it's a real fillip for him that it's been announced this week that the war has ended. You know, Fleetwood's had a lot to deal with, but despite all these off-course challenges, he's had 6 top 10s this year. 5th spot in the Truist Championship a month ago was encouraging. 4th in the Memorial the week before last was really eye-catching, because every department of his game is in great nick apart from his traditional strength of iron play. But the iron play came back in Canada last week, Dave. the ball striking performance in Canada was so encouraging. It was poor work around the greens which stopped him from seriously contending for the title. He tied 11th, but he's fifth on the PGA Tour for strokes gained around the greens this season. So, you know, don't worry about last week's chipping. It's obviously not going to be a long-term issue. He's magnificent in the wind. We've got loads of wind this week. This is Tommy Fleetwood's big chance, Dave. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm not wearing that wig again. After we donned them before, didn't we, when he won, and I'm not wearing another one.
Yeah.
I'll be cheering. Like you say, he's a very, very popular player. And he's been in great form. Great form.
Yeah. I'll put a wig on. I'll cry like a baby for the best part of a week when he wins, and I will put all sorts on my head.
Okay. Right, he's the main selection. Let's not hang around then. Next best.
Good attitude, Dave. Xander Schauffele, who you've probably given up on. We mentioned your bin. I expect he's circling around your bin, is Xander Schauffele.
He's close. He's not in it yet, but he's close, yeah.
Because your patience is not there, but I'm not giving up on Xander. You know, his short game has been denying him the chance to win titles this season, but I'm certain that's not a terminal issue. Ball striking much more important this week. From tee to green, Schauffele remains elite. He's been playing elite golf from tee to green this term. The putter actually came alive briefly at the USPGA last month. He finished 7th at a running mink and putted well. Last time out at Memorial, the putter had gone cold again, but everything else was working really well. So, small greens this week. Let's take a leap of faith with the putting. It's not as important this week with the small greens. Let's concentrate on this supreme US Open record that he's got. Schauffele's US Open record is ridiculous. Form figures are 5, 6, 3, 5, 7, 14, 10, 7, 12. Incredible consistency. Loves the challenge of difficult golf courses like you always get in the US Open. He was 6th at Shinnecock in 2018. That was only his 5th major start. He's had 19 top 10s in 36 majors. Yeah, he's standing dish in the majors. He won the 2022 Travelers Championship, which is not far away from New York in Connecticut. Two-time major champion. He just seems likely to thrive on this stage again, Dave. And like Fleetwood, can handle the breeze. You remember how windy it was in the Open that he won in 2024. He's won the Scottish Open as well. You know, breeze proven, links proven, New York proven. He was joint top American scorer in that Ryder Cup 9 months ago. So, yeah, I see a Ryder Cup style duel on Sunday. Fleetwood against Schauffele. Let the best man win.
I like it, yeah. What sort of price is he going to be for a top 10 finish as well? Because that sounds like an all-in job.
Yeah, I think you should go all-in on that, Dave. You'll get odds against him and you should have a responsible gamble on that.
Of course, as ever, we always encourage responsible gambling there. But yeah, big player. Right. I'm hoping the prices are going to get bigger, Steve. What else you got for us?
Yeah, of course. Victor Hovland, Dave. Victor Hovland.
Big run last
week. Hugely encouraging performance in Canada. Rounds of 64 and 65 over the weekend. Third place. Topped the strokes gained on approach statistics. He was 12th for putting, which is really exciting for Hovland fans. But perhaps the most important stat from last week, he gained strokes off the tee. Hardly missed a fairway. And this is really important because he's been working on getting this new driver into play. We wondered why he skipped the Memorial the other day, didn't we, David? You know, he wasn't in the Memorial field and eyebrows were raised. Well, we now know why. He was hard at work at home trying to get used to this new Ping G440 LST driver. He's been trying to get this club into his bag for months, actually, Dave, and has always gone back to the old faithful. But this club is going to get him more driving distance. He needs to get this club in the bag. And they found this new stiffer shaft in the 3 weeks between the USPGA and the Canadian Open. He had 3 weeks off working on this driver. This stiffer shaft has done the trick, Dave. He's got driving confidence again, and he arguably would have won last year's US Open if he had driving confidence going into that tournament, Dave. You might remember the issues he had with driver there at Oakmont. His iron play was absolutely sensational at Oakmont. He finished third in the tournament. Driving was loose. His approach play has been excellent again this season. Driving's been the issue. I think he solved the driving issue. He's actually gaining strokes over the whole season putting. So there's lots to like about Hovland. This is the 2023 FedEx Cup champion. Did a lot of swing tinkering after winning the FedEx Cup. Yeah, I think it was misjudged. I mean, he doesn't think that, but he hasn't been the same player since. But there's really positive signs, and this is a proven major contender. Fourth in the 2022 Open, seventh in the 2023 Masters, second in the 2023 USPGA, third in the 2024 USPGA, then third in last year's US Open. Yeah, if the technique is back, I think he's in for a massive summer. His 2018 US amateur victory, you might remember, was at a US Open venue, Pebble Beach. Then he was low amateur in the 2019 US Open at Pebble Beach. I think he's going to fall in love with Shinnecock in the same way he loves Pebble Beach. And again, this is not a European Ryder Cup that the New York guys are going to be smashing their Bud Lights and coming after. You know, Hovland, again, universally popular, you know, genial Norwegian. You know, how can you not love Victor Hovland? And he didn't really play a huge part in that Ryder Cup, to be fair, because remember the neck injury,
the neck injury.
So he's only played three matches at Bethpage, didn't play the singles. So I don't think he's going to get any problems from the crowd. So yeah, Victor Hovland.
Yeah, he's a nice big price as well. Encouraging signs last week, that's for sure. Right, he's the third pick. Who else have you got?
Chris Gotterup. Brilliant in the wind, Dave. Got that amazing stinger shot. Penetrates through the strong breezes. He produced a magnificent round of 65 in the worst of the conditions on the Friday of the USPGA last month. It was really exciting to be wrong, Chris Gotterup. He played so well in the tough conditions. He finished 10th in the USPGA. He's quickly shown he can handle major arenas. 23rd in last year's US Open. Third on his Open debut a month later. 24th in his Masters debut in April. Three of the four PGA Tour titles he's won have come by the coast, Dave. He likes shot making in a breeze. The 2024 Myrtle Beach Classic, the 2025 Scottish Open, the 2026 Sony Open. Then he handled the pressure cooker of the Phoenix Open to win there in February. I don't know what this lad has to do to get the respect he deserves, Dave. He's just not enough people talking about Chris Gotterup. He's a fantastic player. He's improving. He's 26 years of old, 26 years of age. He's ready to win anything, Dave. And he'll be the darling of the galleries. We've spoken a lot about the boisterous New York galleries this week. He'd be the darling of the galleries, Dave. Raised in Little Silver, New Jersey. Went to college in New Jersey. Won big amateur titles in this area. He won the New Jersey State Open in 2019. I think he would have been a huge asset on the Ryder Cup team, Dave. I think Keegan Bradley made a mistake not having him. I mean, I think he's going to produce an overdue big show in New York this week. He's gaining strokes in every department this season. Bursting with power. Solid weekend and Memorial last time out.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Scottish Open because he's got a good record there. Similar track, right?
Yeah, you've got to examine Link's form. You're absolutely right. You know, Open Championship form it needs to be studied for Shinnecock Hills. This is a Linksy track, fast running fairway, you know, loads of wind in the forecast. Gotterup has quickly proven how good he is in the wind.
He's sort of player that I'd like to back him first round leader as well. He's that kind of player that can get off to a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll examine the tee times when they emerge and hopefully won't get draw bars. But no, we'll be on to that in Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll be revealing first round leader tips.
Well, yes, I'll ask you what the coverage is going to look like in the Racing Post. We'll get to all of that. Right, one more selection to come.
Yes, it's Patrick Reed, Dave. Patrick Reed. Not everyone's cup of tea, but very much my cup of tea. I will always love Patrick Reed. The 2018 Masters champion. He's finished in the top 20 in the US Open five times. He's missed the cut only once in 11 US Open starts. Best finish came at Shinnecock Hills, Dave. 2018, fourth place, beaten by only three shots. This is a nine-time PGA Tour champion. He won the 2016 Barclays at Bethpage Black in New York. He won 3.5 points in the 2017 President's Cup in New Jersey. He won the 2019 Northern Trust in New Jersey. So no stranger to success in this part of the world. And this time arrives full of form and confidence. Victories in the Dubai Desert Classic and the Qatar Masters early this season put Reed at top of the Race to Dubai rankings. He's wrapped up a PGA Tour card in no time at all. He's on the PGA Tour next season. That means, because of that early success, it meant he could just play a really relaxed schedule. He's not playing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in a lovely position because he's not been playing between majors. So he's been able to focus on the majors. He finished 12th in the Masters, did not play again until the USPGA, finished 10th in the USPGA, and he hasn't competed since then. So he goes into the US Open, doubtless would have got loads of practice rounds in at Shinnecock. And I think he's probably going to be the best prepared player in the field. He was fourth for strokes gained on approach at the USPGA. Missed a lot of fairways there, but his iron play was amazing. He putted much worse than normal. The iron play has been great all season. Yeah, that's why he's atop the Race to Dubai rankings. Churning out greens and regulation on the DP World Tour. You got wide fairways this week, as mentioned. That takes pressure off Reed's driving. He can be a loose driver. So he'll appreciate the width of the fairways. His short game is a traditional strength. He's good in the wind, Dave. There's so much to like about P. Reed this week. So, I'll be cheering P. Reed on, even though lots of people won't be.
A strong five. A very strong five that you've put up there, Steve. None of those five are the favourite, Scotty Scheffler. No love for him.
No love for the favourites. I mean, the closest that came to making the staking plan, I mean, Justin Thomas, I gave a lot of thought to. I know you love Justin Thomas. He was fourth in the USPGA. He's made a great comeback from surgery and looking really good. But iron play hasn't actually been up to the usual standard. It's other departments of the game that have helped him get results lately. He's missed his last three US Open cuts, Dave. So that was the moment I decided to lose JT. Harris English has got a great US Open record, you'll know. Ryan Fox is playing well again. Tyrrell Hatton, sixth at Shinnecock in 2018, despite arriving in dire form. So eye-catching course for Tyrrell Hatton. Obviously won the Andalathea Masters last time out. Sorry, slip of the tongue. Live Andalathea. Apologies to the DP World Tour. But there's one player that I haven't mentioned that was close to coming into the outright selections at 125-1, but I'm saving him for the tops and specials. Sorry, Dave, I'm keeping up the pace. Scotty Scheffler. You want to know?
It's all right. You crack it. You just remember to breathe at some point. But
you want to know about Scotty Scheffler. It's difficult to be bullish about the chances of Scotty Scheffler after what happened at the Memorial. He finished 12th of 72 at a venue that he'd previously been dominating. He was going for the hat trick of Memorial wins. Yeah, he's a humdrum ball striking performance, mediocre putting. And this is a course that he's conquered in the past. So I was really put off by what happened at the Memorial. I think the most important thing, the most important negative that happened at Memorial was the worsening of his relationship with his caddy. I mean, we talked about it a week or two ago. You know, Scotty Scheffler and Ted Scott, you know, obviously have won all sorts together. But there was a strange relationship at the Memorial. There was some really, really difficult to watch arguments between them. Some of our commentators have suggested that since he had his second child, Scotty Scheffler's got more moody. And they may be onto something there, because old Remy Scheffler popped out on at the end of March, and Scheffler has been quite moody since then. I mean, you got two kids, Dave. I got two kids. I mean, you're going from one kid to two kids. Mathematically, it's double, isn't it? But in reality, it's like a quadruple. You know, the responsibilities, the pressure, it's a quadruple rather than a double, even though mathematicians might argue with me. So I can understand that Scheffler may be struggling with his mood. He turns 30 on Sunday on the US Open Sunday, turns 30. Can he win the career Grand Slam? Complete the career Grand Slam on his 30th birthday? Is it written in the stars? I don't know. I don't believe in the stars.
I wouldn't want to be playing at those sort of prices to find out if it's written in the stars.
I had a look last night. It was a bit cloudy. I couldn't really see it. I couldn't see anything written in the stars about Scotty Scheffler winning the US Open.
Anything written there about Rory?
Just final point, Scheffler. This is his Shinnecock debut. So Scheffler's anger management issues could come to the fore. Yeah, this is the most intense mental examination of the year. US Open sends them all bonkers. Phil Mickelson famously did some ice hockey
came up on my feed on social media yesterday, and I just thought, I forgot he did that. It's just wild, absolutely wild.
He did some actual Happy Gilmore ice hockey on the green. This place can really test you. And Scheffler at other venues has been losing Zed. So Rory McIlroy, you know, another temperamental character, but he's been a bit calmer than Scheffler lately. Missed the cut by two shots at Shinnecock in 2018. He opened with a round of 80, 10 over par 80 in 2018. It's not like, you know, he was not one of the best players in the world back then. He was world number six at the time, and opened with an 80. So 8 years later, I'd say he's a better all-round player. We had this discussion the other day. Is he got better? I think he's a better all-round player. He's got more shots. He's better equipped for this assignment. You know, he can handle. Yeah, he's a really good player in the wind now, which he never used to be the case. So I respect him, but his driving's been so wild lately, hasn't it, Dave? He's never won in New York. And, you know, we mentioned it already. Of all the European Ryder Cuppers who had issues with the Bethpage Black crowd, Yeah, McElroy is the one that will have his enemies there, I'm afraid to say, isn't it? Because he obviously, there was a few F-bombs being exchanged at times. I would be concerned if I was backing McElroy at short price this week. I'd be concerned about some rowdy spectators winding him up, to be honest. We shall see.
Okay, right. What about John Rahm? And who else have we got? Xander Schauffele, you mentioned, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Cameron Young.
Well, John Rahm was world number 5 going into the 2018 Open, US Open at Shinnecock, and missed the cut by 7 shots. So Rahm did not take a liking to Shinnecock. He only missed 2 stateside cuts in 2018. One was at Shinnecock and the other one was in the Northern Trust in New Jersey. So, you know, fiery character. He hasn't really got on with the New York crowd. They were giving him all sorts of abuse at Bethpage, you know, some weight jabs, you know, live jabs. He won't be looking forward to the atmosphere again. I mean, this isn't a Ryder Cup, but, you know, the New York crowd's notoriously boisterous. Rahm's an obvious runner on his ball striking form, but, flopped at the Masters. I haven't really forgiven him for that yet. So, yeah, Rahm at the odds. Yeah, the top 3 in the bet, and I can't get excited about at the odds. Matt Fitzpatrick, we mentioned the positive warm-up, but I just think, again, I think he's a short price because I think people are sort of putting him down as a member of the absolute elite now, which is fair enough because he is world number 4. But, you know, historically, his majors record is poor. I still think he's got a lot to prove in majors. He's only had 6 top 10s in his entire major career. That's 44 major starts. His only top 10 in the US Open came when he won it at Brookline. And remember Brookline, he had an affection with that course, won the US Amateur at Brookline. So,
When you compare that to Xander Schauffele's record, it's light and day, yeah.
Yes, very, very good comparison that day because, very similar prices. And, yeah, Schauffele, a proven US Open runner. I know Fitzpatrick's won it, but that was a course that he had a special relationship with. And I just think Fitzpatrick's major record, he's getting too much respect in the market at the moment, given his historical majors record. Cameron Young, again, there's loads of these players that are priced very similar. Cameron Young, New York born, you know, will carry loads of local support. He was joint top American scorer in the Ryder Cup with Schauffele. Yeah, that was Young's debut. It was a barnstorming debut, inspired by where he was playing, it seems. Will he be similarly inspired in New York this week? Possible. Obviously, a hero for us in the Cadillac Championship, which wasn't long ago, but then made some bemusing decisions since. He's actually made some equipment changes. I mean, he's got a new driver in the bag. He hasn't got the driver in the bag that he won the Cadillac Championship with so impressively. He put a new driver in the bag at Memorial. A really odd timing for me. He was poor in the final round of the Truist Championship. His putter has gone a bit cold as well. Then he was 26th in the USPGA, 46th in the Memorial. That's a really tough one to forgive. 46th in the Memorial. He's gone off the boil. Cameron Young's gone off the boil. Sorry.
You're right. Have a drink, my man. It's fine.
Hydration break.
Well, not power out. Not sponsored by Powerade, I'd add. But yeah, it's a hydration break.
Hydration break. There's another player that's gone off the boil, Dave. Ludvig Aubert.
I've backed him. I've backed 2 players. I've backed Ludvig, and I'll tell you the other one after you tell me why he's not going to win.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I'm never going to tell Ludvig he's not going to win. But he got progressively worse at Colonial, you remember. Each day he got worse. And then at Memorial in his next tournament, he was 39th of 72. So, you know, from, you know, early in the season, basically from Bay Hill to the USPGA, he was in great nick. We were on him at the USPGA, finished 4th. But he's definitely had a form dip. And I wonder whether all the criticism has been getting to him. You know, he hasn't, you know, people are, naysayers are really getting at him for not winning golf tournaments and fading when he gets in the thick of things. So, I think Ludvig Aubert has gone off the boil. Cameron Young's gone off the boil. Who's your other one? Bryson DeChambeau?
No, I've backed Kurt Kitayama.
Ah, Kurt Kitayama. Yeah. I had a good think about Kurt Kitayama. Obviously playing really well. Yeah, fantastic ball striker. But did you have a look at his US Open record, Dave?
I didn't. I fell in love with ball striking this week.
No,
I
think
with Ludvig and Kurt.
I think you're every right to fall in love with ball striking. And I think Ludvig Aubert and his ball striking show from Bay Hill to USPGA would definitely be worth considering. Kurt Kitayama is hitting his ball superbly. Always has been a fantastic ball striker. But his US Open record is absolutely abysmal. Like, I don't even know whether he's ever made a cut in the US Open. But because his short game is so fragile, and there's lots of scrambling involved in the US Open as well, isn't there? So, I definitely consider it. I assume you got a massive price.
Did get a nice big price. Yeah, surprises, eh?
I'm glad you said. I'd rather have Kurt Kitayama at the prices than Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau always gets his love at the majors now, but I don't trust him. He's not in my bin, but I don't trust him. He missed the cut in the Masters, missed the cut in the USPGA. Missed the cut in last year's US Open. I just don't trust him with his irons. I think a loose iron shot's just waiting to happen. His short game we discussed is so ugly, isn't it? And I think some ugly chipping or some loose iron play would do him in, but obviously a two-time US Open champion.
I'd love one of the bookmakers to do a special on the number, or if there will be a club snap on camera, because you mentioned like this place is going to mess with brains. Like, there's going to be all sorts going on, the frustration. You know, if Sergio Garcia was in the field, he'd be taking his shoes off and throwing them and all sorts.
Well, that's it. I mean, the bookmakers are very busy at the moment. They were Royal Ascot and World Cup and whatever. But yeah, it'd be a great market. First player to snap a club. And then you could have a no club snap price as well. But then, yeah, I guess there'd be lots of stewards' inquiries on the timings, wouldn't there? A difficult market to price up, but come on, bookmakers, who's up for it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's more important things going on. Right, you will be very busy as well, of course, this week, Steve. So just explain to us what the coverage in the Racing Post and the RacingPost.com website is going to look like.
That's it. No, I'm campaigning for lots of golf coverage, fighting off the horses, fighting off the footballers. We will have our usual package in Wednesday's paper. And then I'm going to get a first round leader tip for you, Dave. I'm going to get lots of tops and specials tips. You know, the 72 hole match is always very interesting. The three balls when they come out. So we'll cover everything, and then we'll cover after each round, before round two, before round three, before round four. Get on the racingpost.com, and we'll have in running tips for you. Hopefully
the matches are always an interesting one, because they tend to pair up players that are similar prices. Imagine if the bookmakers priced up these two, from what you've said on this show. Two players that are next to each other in the market. Brooks Koepka versus Patrick Reed. Would you that one?
Yeah, I would love that one. I'd be looking at all bookmakers' rules, but normally if you tee off, you're in play. Brooks Koepka, we've got to keep an eye on, because he's not fit, and these are worrying times. I mean, I can tell you the panic that was in me when I realised I couldn't grip a club anymore. It's heartbreaking. I might break down in tears if I continue on this subject for too long. But I don't think Brooks Koepka is the kind of guy that cries. I don't think he's ever cried.
But you make a good point. I don't think he's the sort of player that's going to withdraw either.
Yes. Yeah, that's the key point, isn't it? That's the key point. He's going to battle on. This is the US Open. He knows that fully fit, he'd be a massive runner. Because he's been hitting the ball so well this year. Yeah, it's hard to really feel for these multi-millionaire golfers who just play golf for a living. It's hard to feel for them, but I do feel for Brooks Koepka a little bit, because you know he would have been looking forward to this tournament all year. It's all gone wrong for him. But we got some special.
I know it's really early, and you've not scoured across all the markets. That's to come in Wednesday's Racing Post, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but what
yeah,
have you got for us
well,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
You when, must when, have something for us now. What you got for us?
Wednesdays and Thursdays, because obviously we don't start until 11:45 a.m. on Thursday, so we'll have more markets covered in Thursday's paper as well. I've got two big price specials that I like the look of, and then two favourites that I think are very dependable in the specials markets. Dustin Johnson Day. That was the 125-1 chance in the outright market that I was tempted by. You know, Dustin Johnson is playing well again. You know, he's found a driver that he likes at last. He spent ages trying to find a driver he likes. He's gone through all different types, and he's finally found one that's got him back driving to the level that he's, you know, that's made him the player he was. You know, he's looking forward to playing golf again now, is Dustin Johnson. I've read the quotes. He's feeling really positive, you know, because he used to enjoy driving the ball. Like, you know, he's one of the best drivers in the world in the good old days. And he's getting back to that sort of level with the big dog. I think Dustin Johnson, top former US Open winner. I've seen 30-1. 30-1, because he's won the US Open before. 30-1 for top former winner. His short game has been in superb nick this season. He's had 7 top 20s on the LIV circuit. He was fourth in career, LIV career last month. Fourth place there, fifth at Valderrama last time out. And that 44th place in the USPGA a month ago is better than it looks, Dave, because he was so ill on the Thursday and the Friday that both days he was thinking about pulling out, wondering whether to continue, battled through and felt a little bit better over the weekend, finished 44th in the USPGA. He's got a fantastic US Open record, champion in 2016, third at Shinnecock in 2018, fantastic record in New York generally. If you've got time, have a look at his record in New York. I think he's a runner outright. And you know, I always like to have a massive price outside of Mistake of Man if possible, but I just had too much love for others lower down the bend. So yeah, if you fancy a little tickle at 125 to 1, I'm not going to put you off, but I think 30 to 1 top former winner is the best tactic on him. And then slightly shorter, 16 to 1 for top live player.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, top live 16 to 1. I think Justin Johnson is a serious runner this week. If John Rahm flops, if someone calls him a nasty name and accuses him of, some of the jabs, and look into it. I don't want to repeat them because they're heinous. But he got a rough time from the galleries, and he's a fiery character. I mean, all this live drama that's taking place since all that gives more ammunition, unfortunately, doesn't it, for the spectators to give him grief. So
he's another player that could come out the blocks quite fast. So he's another one who could potentially be a first round leader job as well. Yeah. So you're saying wait for the tee times. What should we be looking for if we're looking for the first round leader? What do you want to? You want an early tee time?
It's very hard to say at this stage, Dave. Now I will cover that, but there's a lot of wind in the forecast, particularly on Thursday, and you've got to work out when potentially the wind goes too strong for play to even continue, because these greens are fast, and it's going to be borderline at times. When the strong winds, balls oscillating on the greens, and they like to have these pins right on the edges, don't they? So, the bigwigs have got such a tough task ahead of them. Yeah, they must be tense. Yeah, I'm always tense as a golf tipster going into a major, but the US Open bigwigs must be so nervous because they got a lot of stick last time. You had Phil Mickelson doing the Happy Gilmore impression. You had Zach Johnson was kicking off about saying that they've lost the course. I mean, you had a fascinating tournament 2018 because you had Daniel Berger and Tony Finau, one of the first groups out on the Saturday. It ended the day in the lead because it got so hard on the Saturday for the later groups. We got a lot of the in-running stuff I mentioned on racingmost.com, really important this week because the weather have a big role to play. And you could see that the leaders struggle at the weekend and people shooting up like Berger and Finau did in 2018. We don't know yet, Dave, is the honest answer on that, but we'll keep a close eye on the wind. There's definitely going to be loads of wind on Thursday. It's just a question of when it's going to suspend play. It's entirely feasible it suspends play.
Okay, right. We'll keep an eye on the Racing Post website for that. We've mentioned Dustin Johnson. Who else you got for us?
Yeah, then two solid favourites. Wackham Neiman did us a favour in the USPGA in the top South American market. I think he's going to repeat the dose. I think Wackham Neiman, top South American, odds against, is anything odds against is well worth taking. He's getting his act together. He's getting his act together again. It's such a weak section. I mean, Nico Echeverria, Emiliano Grillo. Neiman is a potential title contender, whereas there really isn't anyone else in that market that is. So odds against Neiman, top South American. And then the other one is Jackson Coyven, who I cannot wait to turn professional. He turns professional on Monday, Dave. This is his final event as an amateur. This is a superstar in the making. You can get 13 to 8, obviously, is the best I've seen so far about top amateur. Jackson Coyven, top amateur. We're talking about such a promising talent here, Dave. Just been dominating on the amateur scene. You know I love it when a new boy comes onto the scene. Ludwig Aubert, obviously, a good example of a player that we followed at massive prices when he first came on. And I feel Jackson Coyven is going to make a similar impact quickly when he turns pro on Monday. I think he might even finish in the top 20 this week. He's that good. I think top amateur, there's no one that can hold a torch to him. That's not the expression. What's the expression, Dave? Candle, light the candle. There's no one that can hold something towards him.
I get what you mean.
I can't.
I like the Neiman angle a lot because you listed the players there, and he's the only one that you can see being remotely near the top of the leaderboard. Neiman
absolutely plays well in the wind. Penetrating ball flight, short game's always been mustard. Yeah, he made all
you
those.
You wouldn't be surprised if he won the whole thing either.
Yeah, yeah, I he was definitely on my shortlist, Dave. I mean, I hadn't even on my shortlist. You can't back them all. I had 16 players on my shortlist for a ruddy long time, actually.
Yeah, I would have just shut the laptop. If I said, how many have you got this week, Stephen? You said 16. I would have just closed my laptop.
So well, this
we'll
is
have another guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, it took ages. It's so long. Like, Tommy Tiger was getting angry at me yesterday because I promised I'd take him down there. On Sunday night, I made a very silly promise that I'd take him down the local sports field to fly this helicopter thing that he wanted to fly. But yesterday they just did, he got, when he got back from school, I just said, look, there isn't been any time. Like, it's been, this US Open is very tough to get the shortlist down. And
fine time.
Yeah, I know mate, but yeah, you say coming on with 16 players, what if I come on and say I don't know yet, come back tomorrow?
That's very true. Yeah.
You would be even more angry with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would indeed. So, but you did have some success last week with the darts. All good. All
what
good.
What a darts tournament. I mean, I hope so.
Can we just win the World Cup of Darts for like the next 10 years? Just easily, could we not?
Potentially, because the pressure's off now. I mean, they almost went 5-0 down against Wales in the quarterfinals and then fought back from 4-0 down to win 8-7 against Wales. So, yeah, Luke Littler and Luke Humphries had a lot of pressure on them. The Frankfurt crowd, we talk about the New York crowd. Yeah, when you've got a crowd that are really against you, the German crowd were really anti the Lukes, and they handled it really well. I mean, Luke Littler's big fish in the penultimate leg against Wales is, yeah, the sporting highlight of the year for me. Yeah, check it out on the YouTube if you can. Luke Littler's big fish was amazing. Luke Humphries was a hero in the final. Like, Luke Humphries. Yeah, Luke Littler's getting all the plaudits. Sorry, Dave. I told you not to. I told you to keep the pace up, and I'm just rambling about darts. Yeah, Luke Littler's getting all the plaudits for his big fish, and he deserves plaudits for that. But Luke Humphries generally was superb during that tournament and key to it. So yeah, well done the Lukes. Hopefully England can win the next World Cup. Now, the less important World Cup.
Well, yeah, you're rocking the Three Lions and all that, so you believe him, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. You know, I just, I'm going to go out tomorrow night and watch the match. That's why I was mentioning the thunderstorms. You know, if I get home at 3 o'clock in the morning, I will say to the wife there was thunderstorms. I'm sure she'll understand.
Yeah, I'm sure she will, yeah.
No, the late kickoffs are tough. I was watching Uruguay. I finished work last night. This shows you how much effort I've put into this US Open. Finished work last night in time to watch the last 5 minutes of Uruguay against Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that was another tough moment for the punting community. I hope the World Cup improves for the punters because, you know, Spain not winning, Uruguay not winning, Switzerland not winning. I'd say there's a lot of happy bookmakers out there at the moment, Dave. And, you know, it's our job now to make them really unhappy at the end of this US Open.
Oh, I have every faith that you will be doing that, Steve. Right. Give us a reminder of your selections for the US Open.
Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, Victor Hovland, Chris Gotterup, Patrick Reed.
I like it. Anything else to add then?
Well, then Dustin Johnson, top former winner. Dustin Johnson, top live. Wackham Neiman, top South American. Jackson Koivun, top amateur. They would be my.
Matt Neiman, that's the one. The Neiman bet. That is the...
And get on Turkey. Get on Turkey for the World Cup. I know they lost their first game, but they were really unlucky. They that's a flattering scoreline for Australia there. I think Turkey will still qualify. Turkey have got the game to win the World Cup.
You've let yourself down there, Steve. Right, okay. No Turkey.
Who do you think is going to win the World Cup then? Sorry, Dave. I was panicking we weren't going to finish in an hour, and now I think we're going to. So you can tell me who's going to win the World Cup.
I think France is going to win it.
France can
okay. Boy, okay. Somewhere near the head of the market. Right, we will wrap up then in that case. We'll be back next week to pick through the US Open, and Steve can gloat about having found the winner. So I'm confident this week, Steve. Bring it on. I know you're going to be busy, so, you know, find time and all that. So enjoy yourself. You out there, thank you for watching. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.